A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, welcome to the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. It's Liverpool, it's Bournemouth, it's the Premier League. John Machin, Liam Prescott, Bailey Shaw joining me in the Red Men TV studios. I nearly said the his owl then, and I thought better of it. So we're not top of the table anymore, which is a little bit disappointing, but also to be expected, John, with them playing Everton.
Pressure off, no problem. But I think if the team don't think, right, we've got to go and show them, you know, for this weekend, and they don't deserve the title, I really think that they should go out there and they'd be absolutely up for it and absolutely batter Bournemouth.
I think, Leanne, you know, John talks about the pressure there, and it was something that I was thinking about last week, is this idea that are we better playing with Manchester City, having a bit more focus on them? I mean, it's all been about Liverpool the last 2 weeks and stuff while we've been ahead of them in the table. Do you think that will play a factor in Saturday's game?
I think it will, but we've also got to remember Liverpool fans at the moment, especially on Twitter. It doesn't matter if we're top or if we're second or if we're third. They're just going to be worried the whole time anyway. I think it does help having City sort of actually playing first. I thought that was a good thing, and the fact they are top, I would agree, for me personally, is a good thing. But there will always be fans out there who just think it's, you know, the pressure's on, you've got to win every game. People said after the West Ham result that the title's over. So there's always going to be that like hyperbolic reaction, whether you're first or third. People
why do,
still say Spurs are in
the
title race. So.
We have that. Why is it either here or here and it's never down the middle? Why is it like the title, we're bottling it? Why isn't it just Liverpool drew against the side that played well?
I genuinely couldn't tell you. I think it's just because people wanted the title race for so long. Now we've got it. They're scared to enjoy it. They're scared that we might not get there. And so for them, if we don't get there, it's what was the point? But actually, you should be sitting, you should enjoy this team. You should enjoy what they're capable of and what they've produced this season. But it's not just us. You know, City fans like that as well. But they're just more used to being in the title races, I think, at the moment.
Bailey, did you ever think that if Liverpool were to win the league this season, it was going to be plain sailing?
Not at all. If you were, then you've not watched Liverpool for the last 20, 30 years, have you? And I think that you have a great point to think that when we played City and we had that chance to make the gap, whether it was 7 or 10 points, and it was sort of like everyone was like, oh my God, this is mental. That terrified me, to be that far away, because you've got so much to lose, because it's that the bigger you are, harder you fall sort of stance, isn't it? And every week that we didn't win, whether we drew or we lost, it'd be all the gaps getting closer, and the media love to put the pressure on Liverpool because they're not City, and City have done it before, so there's not that pressure there. So I think that I like the tightness. I mean, I don't like, I think if you had that draw against West Ham at the start of the season and you had that 4-0 last week, nothing said, because I feel like the closer we get to the end of the season, it becomes more and more real. People don't believe at the start it's just a brilliant run. Gets past Christmas, we're still top, and then it's sort of like every single game's on a knife edge, and you're not enjoying the football because you just want to win and you want to see some silverware. But I completely agree with Leanne. It's sort of like you just have to breathe sometimes and realise that we haven't had it this good in a long time. And I think that when you look at the squad, you look at the manager, you look at how far we've come, everyone wants to win something. But I think at the same time, everyone wants to see a good Liverpool team putting good results, and I just think the last 2 weeks have been a bit of a blip, as we've called it.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it, John? I think there probably shouldn't be too much to worry about off the back of the last two results. I think there's extenuating circumstances that goes into both of them, I think.
No. Well, you know, I mean, you draw, we're not getting beat. We've lost one all season. I mean, it's actually crazy to think that we draw a game away and people suddenly think everything's disaster. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I said last time we were on that there would be points dropped between now and the end of the season, both by Liverpool and City. And I still think that's true. I still think there are points to be dropped. We're in the driving seat. We've got a 3-point edge. But even if we lost that, the season's, there's still 13 games to go, you know, or a dozen. But We've been really terrific this season, and I don't see that changing. I don't see us getting beat particularly. We might have a couple of draws on the way. But to be honest, I think if we beat United next week, I think that's the title.
Wow.
I think we're done.
Okay. I'm reminded of, I was reading an article a day or so ago, maybe on Sports Illustrated. Everyone knows I'm an NFL fan. And they were talking about how, the writer was talking about how he doesn't think that you should draw hard and fast judgments on any side in sport based off close results, whether that's a draw, a close win, or a close loss. And his point in the NFL side of things that most people will have seen the Super Bowl is, you know, Tom Brady might not have been in that Super Bowl if Dee Ford for the Kansas City Chiefs doesn't line up 2 inches over the line. Like, they wouldn't have been in the Super Bowl. But now the story all off-season is that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever, whereas the story, had he put his foot there, would have been, he's too old to be able to do this. And I think about that Divock Origi miss at the end of the game. Now, that goes in. That's title-winning form. It doesn't go in. Liverpool are bottling the Premier League.
Well, it's the same with Everton. We scored that bizarre goal right at the death. And, you know, that is, the impetus for us was phenomenal. No one talks about how bad we were in that game or how good Everton looked, or, you know, we made them look. And that's forgotten. We got the 3 points, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, so that is, it's the same point, really.
That's it. A game of football and a season of football is made up of these tiny little moments, and you need millions of these moments to sort of go your way. Yep. At the moment, it feels like the last two games, they've gone the other way. But there are plenty of times this season where we've forced the issue and we've gone on and capitalised on
it. In some respects, maybe Klopp's thinking along the same lines, because this year he's clearly been determined that we weren't conceding lots of goals. But that has had an effect on how many goals we've scored at the other end. I mean, less than people think. You know, we've still scored a lot of goals, but that sort of exhilarating 15 minutes in games where we annihilated people, that seems to have stopped. But, you know, maybe Klopp is thinking that, you know, those little moments are what count. You know, winning 1-0 is as good as winning 5-0.
It's true, isn't it? And you can get to conserve energy towards the end of games if we're not pushing on, and, you know, you can sit back a little bit. On to this game then a little bit more, Leanne. Let's start with Bournemouth for a minute. We know how Eddie Howe likes to play. I think we've dominated them over the last few games. You know, we beat them 4-0 earlier on in the season, 8th of December. We beat them 3-0 last time at Anfield and 4-0 away last December of 2017. Side we've scored 11 goals against, not conceded. Is it a good time to play them? Because I thought that about West Ham.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's, I think the last few weeks have shown in the Premier League there's never an easy game, so you can't really say it's a good time to play Bournemouth. I'm a big, big fan of Eddie Howe. I think he plays really, really good football and could potentially get a move in the summer if he wanted one. But yeah, this is ideally the perfect time to play Bournemouth. Liverpool are in a blip, as you said. And so Bournemouth is an opposition. You would expect Liverpool to be scoring goals. You said 11 scored, 0 conceded. So this is kind of on paper the perfect opposition. But the paper doesn't win you the Premier League. It's the performance. And we are going through a blip. The players now need to step up. And if they don't step up, as you said, you know, do they deserve the title if they can't win against Bournemouth at home? I'm not sure. This is the opportunity to kind of respond to the doubters.
And that's it. We've got to make sure, Bailey, now that blip is over. Yep. You know, get back, put your strongest side out, get some goals again. We know Salah scored 3 last time out, but Bournemouth can't be taken for granted at all. And it's not something that I think Klopp and the Liverpool players have done all season, is take anyone for granted.
No, yeah, I think you've all made excellent points there. And I think that interesting stat to me that I saw is that we, outside of the Newcastle game, which we played, which was 6 games ago, Fabinho and Lovren scored. Since then, only our front three have got on the score sheet in that period, which was mad to me. So the fact, like I say, Salah's had great joy there before. They clearly are weak in defence, as good as they are going forward. I think that this is a great time that our front three can really get back into their sort of their form. And I think that what you'll see with the preferred 11s, I'd the likes of bringing in Keita, bringing in Shaqiri maybe in the 10, and having those players that you can really go at a team and get some goals together. Because I think these scrappy 1-0s, sort of one goal margins, are possibly playing on their confidence. So it'd be good, and we'd say it every week, to go out and get a 3-0, a 4-0, just put a convincing, well competitive performance together for me. And I think, like everyone said, no game's easy. And I think that...
I mean, the thing is, Bournemouth get a really good press because they play decent football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the record isn't great. I mean, I think they've only won 3 away games all season and lost the rest.
Yeah.
And they've lost to the likes of Cardiff and Burnley and Everton. You know, everyone beats them, basically. So, you know...
Is it naive, is style of football away from home, then?
Well, it looks like, doesn't it? You know, I mean, and Tottenham put 5 past them, and I'm expecting us to do the same.
But when you go and beat Chelsea 4-0 at home, it sort of, I don't know, it balances it out a bit. I don't know.
That's one good home result. They're not bad at home, even though we beat them 4-0.
Yeah.
I mean, their home record is fine. That's just why they're 10th in the table.
Yeah.
Well, they're 10th in the table on the back of their home form. Their away form is atrocious.
Absolutely. No, it is. And, you know, it's got to be something that Eddie Howe has always had a good reputation. I like him as a manager as well. I like the style of football that he plays. I think he's achieved good success with a side with a lot of budget limitations and stuff. And he plays football in the right way, and I like that. I also like the fact that we get to whoop him every time we play him. But that's down in part to the style of football that he'll play against you. You know, it leaves yourself open at the back sometimes against sides with better players than yours. And
yeah, I think he's clearly got a lot of faith in his players. Like, I was going through, because Callum Wilson's obviously out for the game, which is a loss. But so I was like, where are the goals coming from then?
And Josh King.
King's got 8 goals, 3 assists. Brooks, 6 goals, 4 assists. Fraser, 6 goals, 10 assists. He really knows that he's got some brilliant attacking players in his team. I think wherever he goes, he wants to show people that he's a good attacking manager, that he's got some really talented players in his team that he's managed into very good Premier League footballers. But then I think the reason, because they're 7th in terms of goals scored in the league, first outside the top 6. The problem there is that they're 44 goals conceded to their 37 goals scored. They're very good going forward, and I think they lose their defensive capability. So I think, like John said, the 5-0s that you see away from home, maybe he gets too self-assured that he wants to play this rock star sort of, I can show you how many goals I can score, and forgets, almost like us last season. I think that if we go and have just a solid defence that we're used to the first half of the season, and our front three, just let them play almost. Just be like, well, they're going to come at you, so go and do your worst against them, against a defence that's not very good, clearly.
Well, saying all that then, and we'll park the preferred 11s for later on in the show, John. It sounds like if they're going to come out and attack us, is 4-3-3 the best option for this game?
Yeah, I think
so. Or is
4-2-3-1? I think 4-3-3 should be our default position at home all the time. I think we should be going out to win games at home comfortably because we're good enough. You know, I think away from home, you've got to be a bit more circumspect. But, you know, until a couple of games ago, we'd hardly conceded a goal at home.
Well, that was down in part to the 4-2-3-1, the defensive stability of the extra defensive midfielder.
You know, it does suggest that we're under less pressure at home defensively, and therefore, you know, we should be using it to go at people and put games to bed. I mean, how many times have we struggled on, you know, with 0-0 until half time when, you know, we could be 2-2 or 3-0 up?
Yeah. I disagree with the 4-3-3. I think that formation, given our injuries and given the players we've brought in, doesn't fit us anymore. I think that, because Fabinho, I think, in a 4-2-3 when he's our best DM, he should be on the pitch. I think that a 4-3-3 of last season was brilliant because of Oxlade-Chamberlain. Because we haven't had him in and we've been trying to play Keita in there, Shaqiri in there, in the 10 to spark it, sometimes it works, but sometimes it really doesn't. Whereas I think the consistency we get from a 4-2-3-1 and the fact that we've got a cover, no preferred right back, no Joe Gomez, we need that stability, I think, at the back. And I think a 4-2-3-1 offers you the space of, if you need to sit deep, you can. You can put your 6 men behind the ball, but then if you want a break, you can put 6 men going forward. I think it suits Fabinho the best. I think Keita's safer in a double pivot midfield. I think it gives him the opportunity to go, knowing Hendo and Fabinho are behind him. So for me, I think 4-3-3 was good for us last season, but I think we need the right players for it to work again.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of disagree, because most of last season we didn't have Oxlade-Chamberlain playing in the three anyway. His preferred three was Milner, Henderson and Wijnaldum. And that's how we finished up when Alex got injured. I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think, would be brilliant. If he's back, the sooner the better, really, because he was absolutely brilliant last season. But I think we can do 4-3-3 without him, you know.
Yeah.
And particularly at home. I mean, I don't think we should be scared of teams at home. I think we should go and put them to the sword.
Don't you think that the Palace game, though, might be a slight reminder that, you know, we do need to have that defensive stability? We spoke earlier about Ryan Fraser, who has got absolute abundance of pace, and he could be someone who did effectively what Wilfried Zaha did on the counter-attack.
True.
And players like Fabinho, Henderson, it's not as if they just sit there, they're just capable of sitting there. They can go forward with the ball. We've seen that with Fabinho this season as well. So yeah. It's not just a defensive formation.
No, I know it's not. I'm just, my preferred is for Salah to be out on the wing, Firmino to be in a false nine, and Mane to be running right on the left. And I've missed that. I think that's where we get our goals from. Yeah. Those electrifying 15 and 20 minutes against the likes of Roma and City last season, that's what I think we should have at every home game.
Yeah.
Away, I think, is different. I think you can set yourself up differently away from home because you've got to be a bit more careful and build a solid base before you win games. But at home, what the hell? We're Liverpool. We should be chopping everyone.
I must admit, I'm kind of torn between the two because I prefer the 4-2-3-1. But what John says about the three forwards is what I find to be the most interesting about that. And we'll come on to the preferred 11s a little bit later, but I've found the way I feel that you play 4-2-3-1 and you put them three in their best positions because I think that's what it's about for me. It's about, we do need to possess the ball. It's what teams are doing for us. They're sitting back and we need to find a way where we can play through them. So, all that being said then, Leanne, what formation do you actually expect Klopp to play?
I do expect him to go for a 4-2-3-1, purely because I think it gives us a little bit of both, as we were saying. It gives you the defensive stability if someone like Ryan Fraser and Josh King are able to break on the counter-attack. But it also allows players like Fabinho to go forward, to provide that pass into the front three. He has got the creative eye, so I think it gives you a bit of both. The 4-3-3, I would like to see it, but I just can't see Klopp actually doing it.
No, I absolutely agree. Klopp is definitely going to go with 4-2-3-1. And I think he'd probably play that in every game this season. It's just not what I want to see at Anfield. And the notion that, Crystal Palace showed that we need that stability. They scored three goals against us when we were playing 4-2-3-1. So, it wasn't very successful,
So what about the star man, Mohamed Salah, Bailey? Hat-trick last time out against Bournemouth.
Yep.
In fact, this was one of the games where people seem to forget that Salah could have gone down for a penalty, was kicked, stayed up, put the ball in the back of the net. It was only the 8th of December, yet the story around Salah's changed significantly in the media.
Yeah.
How do we get the best out of him against Bournemouth? Because he played up front last time and he scored three goals. You think they'll be worried, Ake and Cooks?
Yes, that absolutely will. I mean, they've leaked so many goals this season. I mean, as good as they are going forward, they're not good at the back. And I think wherever we play him, to be honest, I think he'll cause them problems. For me, personally, I think I'd like to see him on the right. And I agree with John there that I think he gets the most joy out of players over on that side of the pitch. And I think it's hard because I think that I see that because of how electric he was breaking on the right. But as you made the case plenty of times, he basically comes in the middle anyway. So what's the difference of playing him in the middle? So I'd think that regardless of where he plays, I think this a team that comes at us and gives him the space along that back line, I think he'll have a world of fun there. And it wouldn't surprise me if he got two or three again against that team.
Okay, we're going to take a little break now. I was lucky enough to sit down with Liverpool Echo, Liverpool FC reporter James Pearce today for the Newsroom podcast over on www.theredmentv.com. Here's a nice little clip from that.
There's going to be some sizeable gaps to fill, I think. Certainly up front, Daniel Sturridge will leave this summer at the end of his contract. Wouldn't surprise me if Origi goes as well. So then Liverpool will have to invest in a striker, and that's not going to come cheap. Obviously, I think we've seen already in recent months where City have they have the benefit of bringing on Gabriel Jesus, where the drop off from Liverpool from Firmino down is too great. That needs to be addressed. Adam Lallana, his future is uncertain. Will he still be at Liverpool next season? Is that another area they'll need to look at? Left back cover. I know, there's big hopes for Adam Lewis at the academy, but again, it's still a big leap. We're talking about a player that's not really been involved around the first team yet. So, with Moreno going, that's another area. The goalkeeper situation, Mignolet. I'd say Mignolet's absolutely nailed on to go this summer. So then you need a backup for Alisson. I don't think, again, Kelleher, Grabara, hopes for them. But, are either those two in a position where you'd, if anything happened to Alisson, you'd be happy to throw one of those into Premier League battle, I'm not so sure. And as you know, the biggest one for me will be centre half, because I'd say Liverpool have to go and buy, you know, a frontline centre half over this summer.
Right, we've skated around it enough. We're coming back to the preferred 11s, but before we do, if you think that newsroom podcast might be for you, it's £5 a month. If you like it, the first month is free for everybody. Even if you don't like it, the first month is free. If you like it, keep it. If you don't like it, just fuck it off. It's fine. But give it a try. We've got loads and loads of cool stuff on the website at the moment.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It is preferred 11's time. It is Bailey Shaw to give us his. I'm guessing 4231431433.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds okay. Do you know what? Detective Pajak was listening in the first half of the show. I'm on it.
You are. You like Paul Machen?
Just not as good looking.
I don't know.
Said nothing.
Bailey, you're starting 11. Wait, hang on a minute. I've got them all wrote down in front of me. So if I didn't get that right, then I'm an idiot, which is also
no, you did get it right.
Yeah, you did.
Bailey.
Yes.
Who starts at right back for you? Trent and Hendo are probably going to be fit for this game.
See, we're having this little discussion upstairs. I was told by my source, Tom Dutton, that he probably isn't going to be fit. So I've put Milner in there. So that's the case of me putting him in there.
So you've just thrown Dutton under the bus.
That's not what I said.
You definitely did. Right, anyway. If Trent's fit, definitely play him. I mean, the thing we missed most against West Ham was that width. I think Milner can get forward, but I don't think he realises every time he gets to a good space, he has to cross it. I think there is an option to play it inside or to try and come inside himself, which Trent does brilliantly. So if Trent's fit, he's definitely in there. But my source, may or may not have been Tom Dutton apparently, tells me that he's not fit. So I put Milner in there alongside Matip because Lovren's not fit.
Van Dijk and Robertson to round that off. Your midfield two, you've gone for Fabinho and Henderson.
Yep.
And I think actually, Liam, we'll bring you in at this point. You've actually gone for the right answer at right back, Trent, because you didn't speak to Tom before the show, which makes perfect sense. You've gone for the same midfield two as Bailey with Fabinho and Henderson. And then it gets a little bit interesting from there.
Yeah, so I've gone for Keita in kind of the number 10 role. I think he's had a bit of a hard time of it. He's not been quite himself ever since that, arguably the first day of the season against West Ham. He's not really found his groove. But I think there were signs in the last game that he was capable of producing something. He had that creative pass for Origi, who, okay, he was offside, but it was a great pass. And I think that Ive creativity is something Liverpool need to use now. The only issue would be if he's shafted out left again. I think that would kind of come back to haunt Liverpool in some ways. I think that's the one negative Klopp has had this season is putting Keita out there. But yeah, I've gone for him in the 10 and Salah and Mane out wide because I agree. Yeah, I agree that Salah's best when he's out wide. I think it also gives Liverpool a flexibility in their attack. So if Salah does drift inside, you've got Mane who can go out to the other side. You've got Keita who can come out to the wing if need be. Firmino can drop off as well. And that was something that we were talking earlier about how Liverpool blew away teams. And that was a big part of it, having that flexibility in attack, having the unpredictable, effectively the unpredictable front four. So Keita, I think that's the role he should be in if we want to see the best out of him.
And Bailey, you went for exactly the same, you know, Fabinho, Henderson,
yep.
Salah, Keita, Mane, yep. And Firmino up top. Are they the same reasons or is there anything you can add there for us?
I think Salah on the right is just, against West Ham, for example, when he's playing with his back to goal and there's just a sea of players behind him, I don't think we get the best out of him. Whereas I think Firmino there, in a tight space where he can work his feet, he's brilliant at it. I think that when we've got Salah on the right, he causes so many more problems, especially when you don't have the likes of Trent to stretch people. I think having him over there again to cause problems and to pull that defence apart when they want to park the bus. I just think that we've seen the Salah up front, and I think for low block teams, it's probably not as successful. So I'd like to see, just for this game, if Bournemouth do come and try and park the bus, we switch them out to the right.
It's interesting that I'm thinking back to the last game against Bournemouth, and there was times during that game where, I don't know, I wasn't at the game, but you could hear the Liverpool fans giving it the old, hey, because the amount of passes that we were playing and the football that we were playing during that game was quite astonishing at times. And Keita actually played, I think it was out on the left there. I looked at the formation before, and it said Firmino and Salah were playing up top in a two with Mane on the right-hand side. I seem to remember that being more of a 4-2-3-1 that part of December. Keita left, Firmino in the 10, Salah with Mane, or was it Shaqiri? I forget. Apologies. But that, we had a lot of success with that, and we were able to build up through that, John. I mean, your team is a 4-3-3. You've started with the same back line as everybody else. You've changed it in midfield.
Assuming the transfer,
The midfield's interesting. Henderson, Milner and Keita in a 4-3-3.
Yeah, I think Henderson, we missed Henderson at West Ham, no doubt about it. So I think he'll come back in. And I think if Wijnaldum was fit, then Wijnaldum and Fabinho, I think, are absolutely brilliant together. But without Wijnaldum, I think we do need a little bit more in midfield, and I think Milner and Henderson together will give us that. And then Keita, and I don't think Keita needs necessarily to be tied to the left. I think he can roam a bit, you know. But I'm more concerned. I think the midfield is all about who's fit rather than anything else. So it's a straight choice, really, between, you know, four or five people. Whereas the front three, for me, picks itself. And as I said earlier on, you know, I really want to see us back to that proper, you know, stretched across the front, the three of them.
What are the things that I find quite interesting? And, you know, we don't normally talk about the players that aren't in our preferred 11s, but it's interesting that none of us have actually picked Jadon Shaqiri in this.
Yeah. Well, I just thought he had a terrible game last time out. Being on the bench to come on and make an impact is probably the best thing for him at the moment.
Do you think it's fair to say that last 3 or 4 weeks he's not been at the level he was earlier on in the season?
I think he's definitely better as a substitute. His performances and his goals clearly show that. But I think the fact that I've put Keita in the 10, I think means that if he is having a stinker or he's not on form, you can drop Shaqiri in there. And I think he's a brilliant, he's made for a 10 for me. He's a very good right winger, but I think also his passing ability is mental. I didn't realise when he came to the team that he had that range in him, over the top, along the floor. He's very good with his feet. So I don't think he's shown enough as a starter, and you certainly don't drop any of your front three for him. So I think that for now he's doing the business off the bench. So why change it?
And then I think I've gone very similar to you guys. I think I've put Henderson and Fabinho as a two. Keita slightly ahead of him, not the 10. As I've mentioned this a few times, I see that more as a three-man midfield with a double pivot as opposed to what we played last season. Keita getting the ball, picking it up, looking for those 1-2s, like he did second half against West Ham.
Yeah.
I thought first half he was poor, but second half I thought he was much brilliant, better. Looking to try and get things started. Yeah. Those little 1-2s are what I want to see out of a Naby Keita with the front three back in their proper positions. And again, I think we did the build-up show last week and I said the same thing. We're top of the table, or we were top of the table. If we win our game in hand, we'll be top of the table. Pending top of the table, I like that. And yet we're all throwing the baby out the bathwater. Almost we're all saying what Klopp's done to get us here isn't good enough. And I find that strange sometimes. And listen, I can see it, but I still want to see that front three in the formation they were in last season because I was so excited by it. Before we go, let's have a look at some of the rival fixtures then. Fulham host Manchester United at 12:30 on Saturday. Huddersfield versus Arsenal, 3 o'clock Saturday. We're obviously 3 o'clock Bournemouth. Sunday's where everything gets a little bit interesting though. Spurs host Leicester at 1:30. And then a the second part of Super Sunday on Sky Sports. The football is Man City versus Chelsea.
He's supposed to be 4 Patrick. O'clock. What's that voice?
Just a voice that came to my head. It's been speaking to me for a long time. I needed to let it out. So, yeah, it's City versus Chelsea, 4 o'clock. It's the big game of the weekend. Does anyone actually think Chelsea are going to win this game? Because it's being billed like it's a huge game.
They beat them 2-0 last time they played. So, but to coincide that, no.
Chelsea's last away game 4-0 at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, they'll beat City.
You do?
Yeah.
Go on. I do. That's what we need.
I do think they'll beat City.
Okay.
I think 1-1
I think
draw.
City are not playing very well, despite all, you know, the storm that's surrounded us being off form. People are forgetting that, you know, City got beat at Newcastle two games ago. They didn't look brilliant in winning the next game. And last night, apparently, from what I can gather, they didn't really play very well at Everton.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, Chelsea, if they hit form, and why wouldn't they play in City? Why wouldn't you want to play your best?
I've got Mr. Higuain, 2 goals in the bag last game. I mean, that's probably a different dimension that they haven't had from Chelsea in years. A good striker. I mean, that you've always banked on if Morata's playing, it's going to be an easy ride almost. Because if you can shout Hazard and Willian, you're fine. So I think that it's a different dimension that Higuain brings there. But I think the problem is every game, if we're worrying about our games and we die by side games, fine. Everything else is gravy. Like, if they win or lose, who's asked? As long as we win our games, it doesn't matter. So I think that people get caught up watching Everton versus City because maybe City will drop points. You don't need to look at it that way. Because if they do and it happens, great. But I don't think that should affect our game at all anymore.
I think it was something that Carragher said to us yesterday at the Legends event. And it was, we're the only team in the league that can say, if we win all our games, we win the league. And that's still a good position to be in. You know, everybody wants to be in that position at the end of the day. And, you know, Man City have got tough fixtures, you know, but they did have a tough fixture last weekend, which they came out of. Mm-hmm. You know, they had 3 games in a week. We've seen that sometimes they've had a wobble towards the end of these tough runs. Maybe it'll be this game. Don't expect Manchester City to lose. Do your own business and you'll win the league. Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at as well. So listen, it's been a really enjoyable, interesting debate of an Uncensored Match build-up show. Thank you to John, of course, Leanne joining us, and Bailey. And thanks to the lads, Tom and Si, behind the camera. Thank you, though, for watching, for subscribing. And don't forget to like and comment on the video. And we'll see you all next time, hopefully after Liverpool play Bournemouth off the park and score like 7 goals. So.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.